الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ألف لام ميم، أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders, students, brothers and friends, there has not been a period of time wherein men did not face any challenges. Muslims have always had some kind of difficulty, some kind of challenge, and some kind of suffering. And this indeed was a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather a special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After these challenges, after these difficulties, after these hard times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always replaced it with better times. So this difficulties, these hardships, these challenges were actually a gateway or a stepping stone to a better life, to a better future, to a more happier and prosperous situation thereafter. If we sit down and we think, this world in reality is an abode of examination, of tests, trials and tribulations. From the very onset, even when a child is small, there are some trials and tribulations he is going through, some challenges he is facing. And till a person comes in his old age also, there are some trials and tribulations, some challenges that he faces. And like we've just heard a few moments ago, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the meaning of which is, whichever the condition may be, whether it's difficulty or whether it's happiness, both is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can understand that if there is good days, there is prosperity, then indeed it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not only that, sometimes when it's difficulty, and ulama write to such an extent that if a person, for example, had something in his pocket, and for a moment a thought occurs that, do I have it or did I lose it or did I forget it? So that slight panic for that couple of moments, and he looks and he says, no, it is here. That also Allah Ta'ala compensates him for. That also Allah Ta'ala compensates him for. That means that little difficulty also is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for all these difficulties, these challenges, these trials and tribulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see the loyalty of a person. He wants to see the genuineness of a person. And not only the genuineness and loyalty, how much of patience does he have, sabr? How much of determination does he have? How much of steadfastness is there in him? These are the different faculties or the different aspects that are being tested in the challenges, in the trials, in the tribulations. It is not for marks. It is not for awards like we see in today's world. But it is for something different. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the tarbiyah of the Sahaba. And after he made the tarbiyah of the Sahaba, what does the Quran say? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَّ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. What were they tested on? The imtihan was taken of what was in their heart. That steadfastness, that patience, that determination, that loyalty, that love, that submissiveness, that subjugation, and acceptance of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their logic made no sense when it came to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their understanding was never put forward. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says bend, the Sahabas would bend. They wouldn't ask why. This was the tarbiyat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, generally, if we see the purpose of the creation of insan was also what? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. When Allah Ta'ala intended to create His vicegerent on earth, insan, then He informed the malaika that I'm going to be creating such a creation. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. And the Sahaba, in Malaika, what did they ask? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Well, are you going to create such a vicegerency, such a creation that's going to spill blood and that's going to cause chaos and confusion? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply? Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. What I know, you do not know. The purpose of creating them is to show their obedience, their loyalty, and the excellency over everyone else. And this was the purpose of creation of insan. Insan is tested with different situations. Sometimes with calamity, and sometimes with prosperity. When you have a lot of wealth, when you have good days, then also you are tested to see how you behave, how you use it, how you are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much do you use it in accordance to the commands and dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sharia of Allah, according to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is also a test, a trial, a tribulation. Unfortunately, many a times, when there's a lot of prosperity, then we say, no, I made it, it is mine, I did it, who's there to tell me? All these different questions come. These questions do come in our mind, because we forgot that these things were put there or given to us as an amanat, as an trust, to test us. Likewise, difficulties come. Sometimes illnesses, sometimes death, sometimes loss in wealth, sometimes crops are finished. All these come. And the reason for these situations, these trials and tribulations, is very simple. To see who is steadfast, who keeps on turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who keeps on going back and putting himself in the court of Allah, that, oh Allah, whatever condition you keep me in, I'm happy. I do not question your authority. I do not question your decree. If it is meant for me, alhamdulillah. If it is not meant for me, alhamdulillah. The reality of life is, we do not understand the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not understand the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is hakim and is hakim. Allah's judgment is final. Nobody can question his authority. When he decides to do something, it is his choice. He does as he wishes. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And it happens. On the other hand, Allah is Hakim. He does what he does, not because he wants to make it difficult for you, but he is a Rabb, he makes a Tarbiyah, he is Hakim, he brings situations for you because he is wise, he is knowing. He exactly understands the situation. What is the outcome of this, what I am putting this person through? For example, a person was sailing on a ship and it runs into troubled waters. The seas become rough, the ship topples over, people drown. This person gets onto the raft, he makes a raft, he gets onto it, and the waters take him to an island where he is all by himself in total solitude. And he finds some means to keep himself, sustain himself. He has no choice, he has to love. He cannot understand the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somehow or the other, it is the nature of human, in whichever condition he is, he finds something to keep himself going. So whatever he must have found, he made a small hut for him, he got a few things together, because he needs to love. And on one occasion, after a few days, when he goes a little away from that place which he has made his home, in search of some sustenance or in search of some food or whatever, and after a few moments he sees a lot of smoke. When he comes back, he sees that very place which he made his home is now all up in flames. So he turns at Allah and he says, Ya Allah, I don't understand. Where to from now? This is the least that I had, the little that I had, that also is all gone up in flames. On the other hand, a short while later, a ship comes by, and they send the lifeboat or whatever, and they rescue him and they put him on. They take him. So when he asked them, that, how do you people know I am here? He said, that fire that you lit, and the smoke that was going up, we knew that somebody is in distress. And we came to find you. So this was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in destroying him to save him. But we do not understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there are many incidences. If we take the incident of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, it is beyond our understanding. It was beyond the understanding of the Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Here they travel together. they are being given conveyance to go on to. There he breaks the ship. Here he kills a young boy. Here he does that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could not understand why is Khidr alayhi salam doing all these things. Finally, when Khidr alayhi salam had his time, his period, his limit, he says, you know what, after this, if you ask me anything, then you're going to separate. And because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was the Nabi of Allah, the knowledge that he had and the understanding of the Sharia he had was different to that of Khidr alayhi salam. When it came to a point where he could not hold it anymore, he questioned his Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr said, no, okay, fine. Let's draw the line there. I'm going to tell you why I did what I did. But from there, you go your way, I go my way. But whatever Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam did, there was wisdom in it. And that was the wisdom, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And it is because of that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system in this universe runs. That way, it is never for us as mu'min, we never lose hope on any situation. Irrespective of what the condition is. And it has been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person is right at the end of it all, when he feels that now there is no way out, it's done. Everything is finished. Mata nasrullah, when is the help of Allah going to come? At that last point, then the help of Allah is inevitable, it then comes. But Allah Ta'ala takes a person, he presses him to such an extent where he also looks up and thinks, now what? But as long as he is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. Our condition is also such. We sometimes, our nafs takes over us. We do certain things which are not in accordance to Sharia. Then we realize we've made a mistake. But does it take us to a point where we need to become dejected, despondent? Do we become depressed? Not at all. It just brings a couplet to mind of Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who said, Na chit kar sake tu ye nafs ke pehlwa ko, kabhi to wo dabale, kabhi to tu dabale. He says, this nafs is a fighter in you, you will never be able to defeat it. Sometimes he will put you down, sometimes you will put him down. Kabhi to wo dabale, kabhi to tu dabale. مگر غم کے جاننے کی ہرگز نہ کر تمنا اگر گیا غم تو پھر یہ دل کا عالم نہ ہوگا. He says, don't ever desire that grief and sorrow must leave my heart totally. Because if that heart becomes void and empty of grief and sorrow, then it is an empty vessel. Allah will not reside in that heart. As long as there is grief and sorrow in that heart, there is some kind of pain in that heart, you will be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person to such a point, and when it comes to that point, then the unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. If we look into the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we find so many examples. Very briefly, let's go through two. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a great maqam Allah ta'ala blessed him with. But Sayyidina Bilal used to be tied and dragged on the burning sands of Arabia. And he used to be whipped. A stone, heavy stone used to be placed on his chest. But yet, ahad, ahad, ahad. And the outcome of it was what? He became the muadzin of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arad radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one occasion enters the room where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sitting with a few sahaba. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets up and he says, oh Khabbab, you are the only one. Besides you, there's one more person, you and the two people are the only one that are really deserving to sit where I am sitting. It means I am also not of that caliber of yours. Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arad asked, who is that other person? He says, Bilal radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arad says that I think I am one ahead than Bilal. For among the polytheists, there were certain people who had some compassion for Bilal. But when it came to me, there was absolutely no compassion at all. They used to burn a fire. They used to put me laying down on that fire. It was the blood, the pus and the sweat of my back that used to extinguish that fire. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to him, O Khabbab, lift your shirt, I want to see. When he lifted his shirt, the back of his was such, it looked like as if it has been affected and eaten up by leprosy. At that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, O Khabbab, we need to kiss your forehead. So this was the Sahaba, to what level Allah ta'ala tested them. But when the time came, and when the tables turned, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion, after the spoils of war came and they were all laden in the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the court of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Huraira was given 2 pieces of expensive cloth, and he was taking the one cloth and he was wiping his nose, and he was saying to himself, O Abu Huraira, today you are wiping your nose with this cloth. Do you forget there was a time when you used to lie at the door of Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sometimes you used to be lying at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi. People used to think a temporary insanity used to come over you, and then they used to take their legs and put it over your neck to try and cure you. But it was not insanity, or it was not whatever the situation may have been, it was hunger that made this condition. So this is the reality. The test will come, the test will come, the test will come. And then when Allah Ta'ala turns the table, such prosperity and such blessings will come, which a person has never imagined before. Likewise, in the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were conditions. And then when the Ummah degenerated, and the conditions of the Ummah became worse, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought a situation when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and he ransacked the whole of Masjid al-Aqsa and he brought the whole Masjid al-Aqsa to the ground. There was nothing left. The people were killed. Everything, there was only blood and blood and blood on this holy land. To such an extent that when Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam at one stage was crossing there, and he said, oh, what has been left of this place? Nothing. I wonder if it will ever come up again. It comes in the kitab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Uzair alayhi salam a death for 70 years. And after 70 years, when Allah brought him back to life, after 70 years when Allah brought him back to life, the same area of Masjid al-Aqsa was bustling and hustling and people were moving. And the sanctity of the masjid was being restored. And a short time after that, Baitul Muqaddas came back into the hands of the Muslims. And that came through who? Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah. And from where? From the inspiration of his ustad. From the inspiration of his ustad, I need to mention one thing here. Whenever a revolution in the Ummah came, it did not come with the bright sparks, as we would have called it. It came with those who were at the feet of Ahlullah. It came with those who sat at the feet of the pious, who served them at the feet of the Ahlullah, and they brought great revolution and change. And after Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, for 16 years, even before he could conquer Masjid al-Aqsa, he had to fight many battles against the Shias who took over Al-Azhar, and they were running the whole of Misr was taken over by them. Part, he fought colony. Finally he came, and Allah Ta'ala gave him victory over Masjid al-Aqsa. But after he became victorious, not long after that, his progeny went back into something which was against the wishes and will of Allah Ta'ala. Because there was wealth, there was prosperity, there was power, they went into comfort, they went into disobedience, there was mixed gatherings, there were big functions, all these things used to happen. And after that, not long after that, the system of Allah Ta'ala came into such a place where the Mongolian king, Genghis Khan, came about, and because of certain happenings between him and Muhammad Qasim, who betrayed him, this Genghis Khan was not a believer. He went onto the mountain for 3 days, bareheaded, and he stood and he's waiting for the inspiration to come, because he was oppressed. His people were unjustly killed by Muhammad Qasim, who was then the ruler of a major part of the Islamic empire. And then he heard a sound from the unseen. He says, go and fight these people. Victory belongs to you and the land belongs to you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the dua of the oppressed, the opposite person can be who? But he will be toppled. And here, Genghis Khan comes and he takes the Muslim lands from one portion. He goes over Armenia, Samarkand, Bukhara, and he goes on. And it was the greatest fitna of Tatar ever in the history of humankind. There was no greater genocide than that. At one given point, there used to be 70,000, 50,000, 40,000 on one place. There were 1.8 million people that were slaughtered, butchered, raped to such an extent that the historians write that the blood of people came to the calf of the horse's hoof, came to the calf of the horse's leg. That is the kind of genocide that took place at that point of time. And many times historians, when they write regarding historical incidences, they are very unemotional. They write it as it is. But to write the fitna of Tatar, many historians never had the courage to do it, because of the kind of genocide that took place. But as time went, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from these very Tatars, brought a group or handful of people who accepted Islam, and they went, and 70 years after the fitna, again a revolution started, and Masjid al-Aqsa, after a battle, came back into the control of the Muslims. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya is nobody's, is no guarantee that it's going to be yours. As long as you become Allah's, Allah will give you whatever He wants to give you, and He'll give you everything else. And once you turn away from Allah, there is no guarantee that you're going to get the bounties of Allah. And ulama write, our pious predecessors write, that the situation of the ummah is generally gauged from Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is the measuring stick to see the condition of the ummah. If the ummah's condition is good, Masjid al-Aqsa's condition will be good. If the ummah's condition is weak and poor, then the conditions of a Masjid al-Aqsa will be weak and poor. And the reality of it is, today we see what we're seeing, we hear what we're hearing. 20 people, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 children are being massacred, tortured. It is why? It is because of our own doing. Almost 70 years, Muslims are living under absolute oppression. But it is us, our own doings, that have brought us to where we are today. And what we need to do, this is what we need to understand. First of all, our ulama write a very brief prescription of few important points, which I will very briefly share with you. First of all is, we need to feel the pain of the ummah. We need to feel the pain of the ummah. Now when we say we need to feel the pain of the ummah, what do we really mean? We need to collect money for Palestine so we have a banquet. We have a massive party, the best of things are put on there, and you collect 100,000 rand, but all the luxuries are laden on there. Is that the pain of the Ummah? We need to feel the pain of the Ummah. Then we have this run, this walk, that walk, and we collect money. In all this, our nafs is still relenting to all this pleasure, and then we say we need to have the pain of the Ummah. We have this sale, that sale, trying to get money so that you can send to Palestine. Is that the pain of the Ummah? How many of us have really decided those people are hungry, they are thirsty? Come, we also keep roza. Day after day, we stay hungry, we keep roza, we don't drink water, and let us share their pain with them. But no, our luxuries and comforts must not get less. Yes, we have the pain for them. That is not the real pain. The true pain is when we feel pain, we must know what they are going through, and we must bring ourselves on that same line to feel what hurt they are feeling. We sleep comfortably. We don't even worry where we are, how we are, what conditions we are in. Those people don't even know if they sleep, whether they're going to see tomorrow morning, or whether that building in which they are sleeping is going to come down upon them or not. So, respected brothers, we need to feel the pain of the Ummah in its true sense. Not with all these worldly gimmicks, and then we claim to say we feel the pain of the Ummah. And the second important thing, our Akabir write, that we need to make namaz, special namaz, Salatul Hajjah, Salatul Tawbah, Salatul Isti'ana, and ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching was, whenever you are in any difficult situation, turn to Salah. Today, we don't even fulfill the basic necessities of Salah. Let alone our farais with Jamaat, sometimes when we come to the masjid, we don't even make our nawafil also. We don't have time for namaz. It is just a customary thing. We come, we go, we did it, it's done. Where is that namaz, that two rakat namaz that can change the condition of the Ummah? Where is that namaz? So we need to make namaz sincerely with this intention that, oh Allah, whatever condition we are in, we are in. We are weak. But, oh Allah, we ask of you to bring, to change the condition of our world and make it such that our condition can become better and we can become that power or that force that had been dominant over the world over so many centuries. Then the other important thing is we need to make dua. Really speaking, myself also, we are so deficient in this. When we make namaz, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, Rabbana atina, Rabbana hablana min azwajina, but our minds are somewhere else, our hearts are somewhere else. We're saying something else and we're talking something else and we're asking for something else. Did we ever really sincerely sit and lift our hands and cry and shed tears and make dua in the language we understand? And did we really communicate with Allah? Did we really communicate with Allah? We have basically lost our connection. An incident comes to mind of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. We know very well how Allah Ta'ala tested him, to what extent Allah Ta'ala tested him, where his body became his body started becoming decayed, rotten, and then worms used to fall out from his body, and then he used to take those things and put it back. After he was given cure, after the test was over, the trial was over, somebody asked him, "Oh Ayyub, how did you fare? When this difficulty was going through, how were you feeling?" Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam gave an ajeeb answer. Our Akabir writes that he said, during the 24-hour cycle, one moment used to come where Allah's attention used to turn towards me. And Allah used to say, "Oh Ayyub, how are you?" And that was such a moment of ecstasy and pleasure that it made me forget all my pain. And then for a moment it used to come back, and I used to wait for the same thing the next day, that let it moment repeat, and that's how I passed 12 years of tests. Do we ever really link ourselves to Allah in dua and feel that, Ya Allah, I've made this dua, the tears have come into my eyes, I've become overwhelmed by your greatness, your mercy, your love, your compassion. That is the dua we need to make. And then obviously, we are human. We have a lot of deficiencies. We have a lot of weaknesses. We need to make a lot of astaghfar and tawbah. And we used to make it with consciousness. One is to take a tasbih, walk around, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, but we're thinking of this and we're thinking of that and we're talking to this one and talking to that one, and our astaghfirullah, so I made my 100, 200, 300 astaghfirullah finish. Did we really sit with that tasbih and make the proper astaghfar and think, I am making through tawbah, I'm making rujoo ilallah, I'm turning to Allah to ask for forgiveness for my deficiencies. We need to make astaghfar in abundance. And then, one very, very important thing is, we need to abstain from sin. Ijtinab min al-ma'asi, we need to abstain from sin. It is so important. Unfortunately, the situation that prevails today, we have become so engrossed in sin that we cannot even differentiate between what is sin and what is not sin anymore. When somebody tells us this is wrong, we feel, who are you to tell me? I mean, this is the way it is supposed to be. We cannot even differentiate between sin and good deeds. We've regarded sin to be good deeds in so many aspects of our life. We haven't even come to understand what is guna, what is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. When somebody tells us to make parda, when somebody tells us to keep away from mahram, when somebody, we feel, but it's my life, I mean, we've been living it. What's wrong? We still ask, what's wrong? We don't even regard guna as guna anymore. So ijtinab min al-ma'asi is very, very important. At every given time, we should be conscious, is this permissible, not permissible? Am I doing the right? Am I doing the wrong? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this what I'm supposed to be staying away from? And if we don't know, learn and ask and find out. And that which is wrong, try to abstain and make dua that Allah give me that inner ability, that courage. Give me that tawfiq so that I can keep myself away from sin. Don't regard sin to be part of life in normal. Regard it to be sin. A day will come when you will make tawbah from that sin, inshallah. And lastly, every person needs to take introspection of himself. We need to take it's no use we look at others. We all know what our condition is. Let us sit down and think, my life is here. What am I doing which is right? What am I doing which is wrong? For whatever you are doing is right, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah man make dua, Allah must give us istiqamah on that. And whatever we are doing wrong, let us not try to justify it. Let us not try to justify that. Let us accept it is wrong. Inshallah, the tawfiq of tawbah will come after that. As long as we try to justify the wrong, the tawbah will never come. So let us take full introspection of ourselves, that where am I? Where am I coming from and where am I going to? And what is the purpose of my existence? Ultimately, at the end of it all, I have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me, regarding my life, what am I going to answer? Yeah, in this world I can pull wool over everybody's eyes. But there in front of Allah, what am I going to say? Our iman also is of such a caliber that we don't even know that we'll go in front of Allah Ta'ala. Will we even be able to present our iman also? An incident is written of a buzurg. There's one night when it was very, very cold and he was coming home from the masjid, a bitterly cold winter night, and he saw one kitten shivering there outside. So he took this kitten, he covered it in his coat and he went home. And when he got home, he covered it, he made it feel warm, he comforted it, gave it little milk. And then the next day he released it, it went away. After his demise, when he was presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala asked him, what did you come with? What did you bring in front of me? He thought, if I'm going to say this amal, that amal, this deed, that deed, maybe there's some deficiencies in it. And if Allah ta'ala asked me, but is this what you brought? So he said, the only thing I brought, Ya Allah, in front of you, I brought is iman. Allah ta'ala says, أَتَذْكُرُ لَيْلَةَ الْلَبَنِ. Do you even remember the night of the milk? He said, Ya Allah, I don't know, I'm caught. He says, one night when you went to sleep, you had a tummy ache. And it was so severe, you said that my tummy is aching because I drank milk. You thought the milk made your tummy ache, it was me who made your tummy ache. Is that the iman that you came with? But Allah Ta'ala says, nevertheless, I owe you one thing. That kitten that you warmed and comforted, that kitten made one dua for you. At that particular juncture, that kitten said, oh Allah, like how this man has comforted me and given me warmth, you comfort him when you come to you. And that is the dua of the kitten that I am entering into Jannah. So brothers and friends, we really need to introspect on ourselves and see where we are and try and improve. And wallahi, it can never happen with our own. We have to put ourselves at the feet of Ahlullah. We have to put ourselves at the feet of those who can change our lives. We can never change our lives. We can never do it our own. May Allah give us the realization and understanding and the reality of our life. And may Allah guide us to such a point where we become beloved to Him. And Allah forgive all our shortcomings.